You're listening to littlepodcast.com.
I'm Sean the Orange Course, a retro game fan from the U.S.
And I'm Kevin Vink Tambernino, an import gaming fan who took things one step further and moved to Japan. Together, we make Famicom Dojo, a podcast that explores the Japanese origins of today's video games and consoles.
And speculates about their future. Assuming they have one.
It's modern games with a retro twist.
This is the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast. This week we take on episodic gaming. What does it mean for a game to be released in episodes? What happens when all the episodes don't come out? Yeah, you know who you are. And does the format only work for certain kinds of genres? We have both a pile of shame and future retro, and they couldn't be more different. Heck, even our main topics in multiple episodes. You'll see what happens. Yes, we were born to play all this video games. Vink.
Welcome to episode palindrome of Famicom Dojo, the podcast.
Oh, haven't there been a few of these?
Yes, but this is the first one we've noticed.
This is the first one we've mentioned. I mean, it is unique. It will never come again. That's true. I mean, I guess technically every episode number will never come again.
It's episode 131 in our episodic podcast, Famicom Dojo.
Really, it's been more than that if you count the Denshi mails in there.
Shh. that's DLC. That's free.
Right. Well, so is
that's
main game.
Free DLC. That's free DLC.
Got it. Right. Okay.
You hear that, Valve? We put out 132 episodes. Can you do three of something?
Ouch.
Valve listens to our podcast.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Not after that. just give me Portal 3. I mean, you know, it was in Lego Dimensions. It was very nice, but it wasn't, you know, it was like Portal Lite. I need the real thing. I need my fix.
Oh, I'm sure they'll get around to it after they've made the third of all their other series. Half-Life 3, Half-Life Stories? Was it called Half-Life Story? I don't even remember anymore. Half-Life Episodes, Episode 3? That seems too redundant.
I have no idea.
Left 4 Dead 3, but I can see how they wouldn't want to do that because there's already a number in there.
Right?
Left 4 Dead 3 is the one! You know, just count down.
I think the original like box art also had like three fingers up already anyway, so I...
Now Valve just has one finger up.
which one is it? I mean, even Naughty Dog's gone on to like make Uncharted 4, and they were supposed to have made a racer, you know, according to their pattern.
Yeah.
Still waiting.
But I mean, look, here's how they make money on Steam. Hey, is the server running? Yep. All right, let's sit back and watch the money come in.
Fair enough.
So, especially
from me, because I just pay for things and never play them.
Yeah, yeah. They found a way to charge me without me using any of their bandwidth whatsoever.
Right?
Because I almost never even download the things that I buy.
It's like a gym membership. You know, you think you're going to go, but you never do.
Steam is a gym membership. Wow.
If everyone actually used Steam, they wouldn't be able to pay their bills.
That's true. Oh my gosh. Steam is a gym membership.
That's a good title of the episode. Steam is a gym membership.
Steam is a gym. I love that. I guess in certain ways, like, what is it? PlayStation Now? Is that what it's called? Or PlayStation? What's their Xbox Live equivalent?
Oh, do people even use that? Oh no, sorry. I'm thinking of like the streaming service. It's just PlayStation Network, right?
No. There's some service you pay for, like
PlayStation Plus.
PlayStation Plus, that was it, which I keep thinking of getting, but I always stop right before I buy it because I think it will be exactly like the gym membership.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because it's like, you get like a couple of free games every month. Free games? I don't have any games. Wait.
Right. I've been paying for it for over a year thinking I was going to use the multiplayer in Dragon Age Inquisition and never did. And I have downloaded some of those free games and even played one or two of them for a while. But really, for the most part, I'm just wasting my money. And I think the last time I mentioned this, I thought that my recurring billing was going to go away. It didn't. It took $10 out of the $21.83 or whatever I got from Frequency. And yeah. I better cancel that. Anyway.
No, it'll pay off in the end when you have the sleek bod. Wait, sorry, I'm thinking of the gym membership again. But like a gym membership, if you use it, it's a pretty good deal. You know?
Yeah.
Like if I was still like a college student and I had like gaming hours in the day every day and a limited budget, it's a pretty good deal.
There was a time when I was young and single and didn't have any kids, and where I was living at the time, I didn't have any friends either, and I would just go to the weight room.
That's my problem. Too many friends.
Exactly. Too many kids. Too many wives.
Speaking of too many wives, lately I somehow have my wife's information in my phone twice in slightly different ways. I don't know why. It must have synced up with one of my cloud-based something. But now I have the hilarious thing of, I used to always just go, Siri, call my wife. And now Siri responds with, which wife? I'm glad they have that feature in there. I mean, that's good.
Are they like Ashley Madison execs who like have Apple stock?
No judgment there, but that's always kind of funny, especially when there's other people around. Anyway, moving on.
Right.
So how do we tie multiple wives to what we're talking about? Because in a way, multiple wives, not at the same time, could be seen as episodic content.
That was the worst transition. And I listen to a lot of podcasts. Let's try that again. Let's back it up.
Okay.
Let's see. So, we'll talk about episode palindrome. That's not a good jumping point. We mentioned Half-Life. Yeah, there we go. Half-Life.
That's one. There we go. I wonder what the half-life of Half-Life is.
Pretty damn long, it seems.
I don't play Half-Life. However, I was roommates in college with someone who played a Counter-Strike quite a bit, and you know, familiar with, you know, the community, and I remember that everyone talked about how long it took for Half-Life 2 to come out. I guess the idea was that they would do some episodic gaming, in order to, you know, increase the frequency that they would come out. And then the first episode came out, and then the second was delayed, but eventually came out, and then nothing.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, it was kind of a joke that episodic gaming was not a thing that was going to take off, that it was kind of a bad business model. But there were success stories, even contemporary success stories, I believe, because I believe that was around the same time as Telltale started getting in there.
Okay.
So let's talk about episodic gaming. There. Hey, transition.
Ooh.
Ooh, I just got a trophy.
I should put the sound in there.
Go ahead. Yes. Yes, do that.
You can sponsor an episode of the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast. Just go to littlepodcast.com, find Famicom Dojo, and click the sponsor button. Check out with PayPal or a credit card, and let us know what wonderful thing we should say about you, our lovely sponsor, in this space.
Do you do much episodic gaming?
I don't actually. You know, the only episodic game that I've played is the Back to the Future game by Telltale. Now,
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You do realize what you're confessing here. Do you want to back it up a little bit?
What do you mean?
You're just confessing that you've never played any of the other fantastic Telltale adventure games.
That is what I am saying. Hold on.
Okay.
Let me go through the list here. The first episodic game I ever bought, because I believe it was on the Orange Box, was Half-Life 2 Episode 1.
Did you buy that one just because of your name?
No, I bought it because of Portal.
Okay.
So I didn't want to play it on PC because I didn't have a really beefy PC. I had an Xbox 360.
Okay.
And it seemed like a good way to play this game. So I did. I never played anything else off that disc so far.
Really?
Just for true. Yes. True story. So pile of shame there. I bought all of Sam and Max, probably like on one of those deals, Humble Bundles. I forget which one exactly, but I have all of it downloaded, at least the first game. Haven't played it. And then
I played that on my Wii, actually.
Oh.
They compiled all of the episodes onto a physical disc, and I bought that. Same with the second game, actually.
Nice.
I mean, second series.
Yeah, I think I have all of those, too.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I have everything.
Okay.
And then I got The Walking Dead. I believe it was the entire thing because Rob Matsushita wants me to play it and talk about it. But I think I'm going to get through The Last of Us first, and then I can compare and contrast.
Okay.
I have him back on the show. But basically, I have all this episodic content and have not experienced hardly any of it. I think Back to the Future is on my phone now because it runs on an iPhone 6 and it was free one day.
Yep.
Used to only be iPad. And then I have like the first episode of some kind of Game of Thrones thing.
Yeah.
So that's about where I'm at right now. Haven't played any of it.
The new King's Quest is episodic too, right?
Is it? I have no idea.
I'm not sure because I don't think I don't know if it's on a platform I can play. Yes, I can't really play PC, so.
Right. You know, I know that they tried to release Fable 2 in episodic content. I'm sure happened.
Yeah.
But before we get into that.
Yeah.
I want to come back to that.
Okay.
So yeah, that's just my list of stuff that I haven't played, but I mean, have you played more than me? Like, that's probably going to be a more interesting discussion.
Yeah, I'd say so. And that's, I think that's a strange thing because you know where I stand on downloadable content in general.
Oh, sure.
An episode of content, for the most part, usually implies that it would need to be. However, I'm that kind of guy. Mm. And I have a physical disc of Back to the Future. I have a physical disc of the Sam and Max 1, 2, and 3. Because Telltale, once a season is done, often releases physical discs with all the episodes on them.
What did you buy Back to the Future for?
What did I buy Back to the Future for?
Yeah,
what disc my Mac.
Okay. Because I was considering buying it for my...
I got the first episode free, actually, and I played that, but then I got the physical disc.
I was considering buying it for my Wii, just so that even though it wouldn't be as high quality as my PC, I could actually play it like at full speed.
Well, not just that, actually. I mean, that's how I played Sam and Max on my Wii, and the resolution is kind of junk, and the textures are not as good. But playing with the Wii remote as a pointer controller is so much of a better way of playing it than.
Oh, I imagine.
I really enjoyed playing it that way.
I think it's on a disc for some other things, too, but I can't remember what else. But neither here nor there, I suppose.
Yeah. And I played... I did have one that I played entirely from downloadable content, now that I think about it. I played Strong Bad's Cool Game for Attractive People.
Oh, God. I am such a bad Strong Bad fan.
Entirely... But now I have a physical disc for the PC. Once it was all done.
Because that was on WiiWare, right?
It was a WiiWare exclusive when it started, so I believe. Or at least that was the only platform.
I don't think I bought it for that even. Like, I am such a bad Strong Bad fan. More like Strong Jerk Face.
I gotta say, that's some of my favorite Homestar Runner content ever made, just because
No, don't say that.
It fleshes it out so well.
No.
I mean, it's the same voices. It's not like someone else, you know. But like you get, you know, what's Strong Sad's room look like? Let's go there and see what he's moping around doing. You know? And you got to play some of the know how they had those like fake video games you could always play on the site.
Oh, sure.
Well, there was one of those built into each episode.
Oh no.
Really? Oh man, this play.
Do you know
it.
The
it's cheap these days. It's really cheap these days.
What can I buy it for?
A PC. Or
I guess I could.
You can pay a little more, but it's going to cost you on the WiiWare because there's no like sales ever there.
Right. I mean, I could buy it for Steam, I guess, and never play it like everything else.
I might actually have a copy I can gift you because I think it's been in a couple different bundles I've bought over the years.
Ooh, okay. You know, for all I know, it's in one of my bundles too.
You might have already bought it. If you really have like a Walking Dead, it's probably been in that bundle or something.
Okay. Well, I just remember this now. I have played one other episodic series.
Yeah.
Penny Arcade.
Oh, I played the first one.
Not only that, Episodes 2 is the only game I have gotten all the trophies for, or whatever, achievements, I guess.
Oh, you played on the Xbox.
Yes.
Okay, I played on the computer. I never played beyond that because originally I played episode 1 and I quite enjoyed it, but then I heard the series was canceled.
2 was very good. Yeah.
But the series was canceled, but then it got revived as like a retro style RPG.
And I've never played episode 3. I don't even know if they've made more than that.
I don't know. I lost track of it.
It was quite enjoyable. But I mean, you know, we have a lot of examples now. Like, what are the strengths and weaknesses, I guess, of the episodic format? Because I can think of a whole bunch.
Well, yeah. But before we go any farther, everybody who didn't know what we were talking about the last 5 minutes with Strong Bad, Homestar Runner, Strong Sad, various other things, right? You can wait till this podcast is done, although you don't have to, but go to www.homestarrunner.com and you're welcome. If you've never been there, if you've never been there before, this might be the best public service we've ever done to our listeners, is to tell you about it. And if you have been there before, you were just reminded of it and you're probably on there again right now. You're not even listening to me.
Right. That's right. like it's the podcast is still going. You just like, we're so frenzied. You just forgot to turn it off.
Yeah. Yeah. We're talking to like your confused looking cat right now. Anyway, okay, now we can continue.
All right. So
pluses and minuses of episodic content.
From the few I have played, reviewing for those listening at home, Back to the Future and the first two episodes, anyway, of Penny Arcade.
Okay.
I feel like a strength was, especially if you were buying them as they're coming out.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking more of Back to the Future here.
Okay.
There was a very wonderful sense of anticipation for me anyway.
Yeah.
And not all
episodes message were... boards and stuff too. Speculation.
Right. And you know, like a TV show, like every time Game of Thrones comes out, and I don't mean the game, I mean an actual TV show or Doctor Who.
These
places.
Does that mean that all other games are using the Netflix model of releasing an entire season at once?
I guess. But like I was saying, like they weren't created equal. Like the first episode of Back to the Future was like the heavy one. Like that's the one they're going to try and hook you with. So there's most of the stuff in it. And like episode 2, while interesting and good and advancing the story, wasn't as big or beefy, and I was able to finish it more quickly. But, you know, if and that's where I think one of the failures can come in, is because, like anything else episodic or serialized, you are not going to get as many people downloading the last episode as the first one. You're just going to lose people.
I suppose so, yeah.
But I think the calculation here is that the people who paid full price for the game and are angry and didn't like it and didn't play it all the way through, you're going to at least get them with the first one. Or you've given it away for free and you've not gotten them at all. But
yeah, well, but smaller barrier to entry, definitely, because usually an episode is about, what, $10 or less, you know,
something like that. Yeah. I don't recall, because I got like a season pass or the equivalent thereof for Back to the Future when it came out. Because I think it was like a very small window where that was possible. But I knew up front that I was going to want the whole thing.
Yeah, you're right about Back to the Future having the beefiest episode being the first one. But to tell you the truth, a lot of them that I've played, it hasn't been that way. I think Sam and Max, one of the later chapters, was quite substantially longer than the first chapter. Okay. And Strong Bad's Cool Game for Attractive People had only like half of the areas open during that first episode. I mean, they had a lot of dialogue to introduce the characters and stuff, but I'd say it was a much smaller game than later episodes.
Okay.
But, yeah. Okay, that's one advantage. I can think of another advantage.
Okay.
For devices with limited storage space, and that would be like, especially the Wii U, think about that.
Sure.
Like, they couldn't have had the Strong Bad's Cool Game for Attractive People as one package as on their download service because of the space limits.
Right.
Of the Wii U. You couldn't clean your fridge out enough to fit that game on there. So that's the thing. You even now, I mean, I guess now that they have the SD card option, you could have them all downloaded. But at the time, probably the most you could have downloaded at one time was 3 or 4 of them.
Okay.
So that was invention. And for other systems with limited bandwidth and or storage space, for example, smartphones, tablets, right, things like that, it makes sense to put on enough of a game to play and then be able to delete the previous ones to put new stuff on, taking up a lot less space than, you know, it would be like if they allowed you to download disc 2 of Final Fantasy 7 and you could delete the first disc,
right,
you know.
Right.
So I think that's an advantage. For companies that don't have a huge budget for making things, you can pay for the game development from the first step. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If enough people buy the first episode, it helps fund the other episodes.
And I'm gonna put
that in my drawback column too, but
sure. But I want to give an honorable mention to Broken Age.
Oh, I guess I never really thought of that as episodic, but yeah, I guess you're right.
It wasn't intended to be, but I think it reaps some of the benefits of being episodic, especially given the long development time.
Because
they were able to kind of go back and like read the reactions. And then kind of reference them in the second part, which if you released the game all at once, you couldn't really have done. And now that's available as one full game, you get it like as one continuous experience seamlessly.
Yeah.
But
that's a good point.
Yeah. Like there are benefits there to being able to respond to what people liked and didn't like about your game. And I don't know if that, like, you'd like totally scrap what you were doing or go back to the drawing board or whatever, but you can make those kinds of course corrections and, you know, one full like 130, 500 hour game or whatever, just like, I don't know. Hold on. Someone's printing something.
Are you living in the Back to the Future universe? Did you just get a fax? Are you fired?
I don't know. This machine can't do faxes.
Oh. you really got to get with the program, because from what I've seen from that documentary on the future, Back to the Future Part 2, you should have a few fax machines in your house right now.
All right. This is for Tall Ships Duluth. I know what my wife is doing right now. Oh my God, there's another page coming.
All right. Read it for us. No, no.
All right, my confirmation number is.
Hey, great. Awesome. Awesome. This just in.
Oh, multiple tickets. But... Was multiples of us. Okay, sorry. Where were we?
You were sharing the breaking news that was being faxed into
No, before that.
From our listeners. Before that, you were talking about how by having Broken Age, by being a broken up game, was able to get the feedback and actually improve upon the experience, debatably.
Right.
As it went on. But I mean, I don't know though, because in that way, you could follow that logic and say that Mass Effect is a episodic game. You know what I mean? Because it follows one continuous storyline. They take the feedback from the previous ones. Hopefully, they're going to take the feedback of combat is broken. sorry, I'm still not enjoying that
yes,
for the first
yes.
game. And improve that, but why is that not an episodic game?
Hold on, my printer is making a lot of noise right now, and I'm not sure if it's getting picked up. Now it's just checking the ink, I guess.
No, we got to keep this in. This is important. This is important. This is. You just go with it. When another one comes in, just be like, oh. It appears we're getting some information coming in right now. Yes,
Donald Trump was one that Iowa caucuses.
Mass Effect is indeed not episodic. Confirms.
See now, I was thinking about this, and I don't think I have a very good answer for this, but I'm going to try anyway.
Okay.
I don't
it's
think
never
it's
stopped
episodic,
you before.
Right? I don't think it's episodic. Like in the case of Mass Effect, it might seem like it is because it is one story, but like let's say Dragon Age, which also has a lot of the same, you know, it's like one continuous world.
Okay, let me ask you one question, because I don't know the answer here, but you might. Was Mass Effect intended to be a trilogy from the beginning?
From what I understand, yes.
Okay, cuz I think that gives a little more weight to the possibility of episodic. Like, if it was a game that, because Star Wars was never meant to be episodic. Well, I guess it was. But, I mean, like, you know, they didn't know if the first one was good. And so they built it in a way it could be standalone as well. You
right,
know?
Right, exactly.
But, you know, I was going to say, it's not episodic. And then I'm like, what are the movies called? Episode 1?
But when Star Wars first came out, it wasn't called Episode 4, A New Hope.
No, it was just called Star Wars.
It was after the fact that they put that in the home video version.
Yep. But not my Laserdisc.
Right.
I got Definitive Edition.
Woohoo! iDefinitive. Eh? No, never mind.
No, actually, it's Standard Definitive.
I tried watching Hook on Laserdisc on an HD DVD once, and it was not pretty, so I have a Blu-ray version now.
I see. You still have my Laserdisc player, don't you?
Yes, I got that from you.
But if you do it on a CRT...
Oh, it looks fine.
I still think it looks... No, I don't know if I want to get into this, but I think it looks warmer than a Laserdisc. I mean, than a DVD.
Maybe. I don't know.
You know, it's kind of like that vinyl... CD thing, like under optimal circumstances,
isn't,
a Laserdisc can look and sound better because it's analog.
Is Laserdisc analog?
Laserdisc is analog video. It's digital audio.
Oh, whatever that's supposed to mean. Okay, all right. Listen, you.
Yeah. Sorry.
Dragon Age. the contrasting comparison here is that, like, the three Dragon Age games that came out are so dissimilar to each other. The gameplay largely is the same, but really, like, the story is different. The characters are all different. And while they're kind of like an evolution of each other, I wouldn't really confuse them as being one game. Whereas Mass Effect, again, a lot of the gameplay mechanics change from game to game. These episodic games that I've played anyway.
Yeah.
The mechanics stay the same. They look the same. Notwithstanding the fact that Penny Arcade Episode 3 went to a different development company.
Yeah, and we'll probably bring that up when we go to drawbacks. But
So I think when you're making an episodic game, you are intending to make X number of pieces to one story. You're not worried about tweaking gameplay mechanics beyond maybe like fixes, I guess, to the earlier ones, but you're not really going back to the drawing board. You're just trying to, at that point, just add more content.
Like, I would say that it's tougher, that one of the things... Are we done with positives? Can we move to negatives?
Yeah, let's move to negatives,
Man, I sure do love being negative.
Apparently.
I think that episodic games fall under the, I'm going to call the Doctor Who complex, or classic Doctor Who complex.
Okay.
In that way, they have their stories that are divided, you know, classic Doctor Who, Tom Baker era, Sylvester McCoy, you know, those guys. You know, you've got your story broken into between two and like 12 parts, depending on the story. But right. Each episode needed a cliffhanger.
Yes.
And some of them were so lame. Like the story Dragonfire, that's Sophie Aldred as Ace's first episode. He literally is hanging over a cliff that he seems to have gotten on because he wanted to see what was over the cliff. Like, there was like, it's just like, story. Whoop, check my watch. Time for a cliffhanger. I think I'll go hang off this cliff. Like, literally, episode one, Dragonfire. Take a look. It is him hanging by his lame question mark umbrella over a cliff. And then when the episode comes back, he just had to step down. Like, there was the only danger in that episode, the only peril was that he might possibly hurt himself.
You know? Right? Twist an ankle. Right. I mean, at least it wasn't something like super lame, like, oh, God, I think I left the oven on. And then,
yeah.
Dun, 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 next time.
Yeah. Where is my TARDIS key? I'm going to be late for brunch.
Yes, that can definitely be a drawback. Artificial stopping points.
And sometimes they were a bit abrupt and repetitive. That's the thing. Right. I think in Sam and Max, I love Sam and Max. I mean, the episodic games are never good, were never as good as the original, but maybe that's nostalgia talking. But regardless, love the series, love the characters. But that, especially in the first game, it followed pretty much the same pattern. You start in your office, you go to this location, you do this, and you bring back something. You know, and true, there's a larger overarching plot, but it felt like, okay, let's do this again now. A little bit, and it worked. I enjoyed the game very much, but I think without that limitation, they could have told a more cohesive story.
Sure. No, I agree. Especially, I actually lost a train of thought here. Just a second. Ooh, nope, it's gone.
That's okay.
Wait, it's coming back.
Okay, I'm ready. Hold on, I'm going to go send Son a fax with his thought on it.
Send me my thought on the fax, that would help.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, yep.
Go ahead.
Although in the case of games, compared to like TV shows where they have to be a specific length, you can go longer or shorter depending on where a natural stopping point might actually be.
I guess, but like if you do that to any, if you make the episode too short, you're going to definitely get complaints. And if you make it too long, it sets an expectation that episodes after that have to be about the same length. Right. So. I mean, there's definite variations in the lengths of episodes of things, but they usually come within about an hour of each other, you know?
Okay.
Another drawback, I think, is that the game might just not get finished. The first Telltale episodic game that I was playing and quite enjoyed was Bone, based on the comic book. Have you read Bone?
I've heard of Bone, sure.
You should read Bone. There. Okay, listeners, that's another thing. I think there's a compilation with pretty with like you know this th- there's a very nice bound collection that you can pick up. Bone, B-O-N-E. Read it. It's really good. See, look at this. Look at this service that we are providing to our podcast listeners.
For free.
For free. For free. Anyway, yeah, I mean, right now nobody's even listening to us anymore, so we don't have to worry about the quality because they're reading right. Bone, they're watching Homestar Runner videos. But yeah, there's no, but anyway, they released two episodes of that and then they stopped. They started Sam and Max. Maybe that was the license they originally wanted in the first place and they were excited to run with that, or technical limitations with their engine, or I'm not sure exactly why it stopped, but that was a disappointment to me because yeah. I was enjoying that. And it stopped. Now, I think I forgave them because at the time I was more excited about Sam and Max than pretty much anything. But looking back, that's kind of mean, you know?
Right.
And, you know, big, you know, small companies, when they do that, like indie developers, I think it's hard to guarantee that you're going to get a complete story. Whereas, you know, when a game is released, it, even if it's not well received, at least it's complete.
Right.
So I think episodic works really good for adventure games. I think that's a good genre for it. But for other things, like, okay, Final Fantasy VII's going to be episodic.
Yeah, that was something else I wanted to bring up too, was that all yeah. these games are, yeah, they're adventure-ish. Like, they are a story that yeah. can be broken up logically. Like, how
into
do
chapters,
you do that
yeah.
for other things? Like an RPG? Well, I guess RPGs have stories, but...
Oh. They do, but at the same time, like, I guess you just continue with the battle systems established and you just... Let's talk about it, what it's going to be. It will be like Final Fantasy VII, except instead of multiple discs, it's going to be multiple DLCs.
Right.
You know, and, you know, it'll break it up like that, you know?
Well,
maybe just as abruptly, to tell you the truth, that would right. be fine. I'm okay with that. I don't think every chapter of a serialized game necessarily needs to have a cliffhanger or a conclusion to that chapter, because if I've gotten that far, I'll probably either give up on the game there or intend to finish it. So I don't think the necessity to wrap things up at the end of each chapter is necessary.
Although this does remind me and bring me back to the Fable 2 example, because when I heard that yeah. they were going to do that one episodically, I could totally see how that would work. Because there are a couple of built-in time skips, and so maybe there'd be like one, two at the most artificial stopping points they have to put into the game. But there are these natural pauses where they could totally just say, "Oh, this is the end of the episode,"
yep,
and you're done. So I think the trouble with that, and compared to the ones I have played, when you have things like inventory or leveling or stuff like that, is how do you carry stuff over from game to game? Because like in Back to the Future, what you did in chapter one doesn't affect chapter five, right? Or episode five. Although when I'm told about The Walking Dead, they do affect each other. Your choices yeah. do matter in later episodes. And, you know, and specifically Fable 2, you have to like manage, you can buy property and like have rent and stuff like that. So there has to be some way to share the game save data from episode to episode so that you have a continuous seamless experience like you would have in the full unbroken up game. So how is Final Fantasy VII going to handle that?
I guess we'll just have to see. Personally, I don't think it should. I really think that that's not one that they should break up. But then again, you know, it's new gen gaming. I don't know. If it might not even be the same type of game. As we know, it's not going to use the same systems and things. So it might be very well designed around being able to be broken up like that. Who knows?
this is another point of contrast with Mass Effect also, yep. is that if you've played a previous game and you do import your character into the yep. new one, you get some small perk, but if you like max out at level 25 or whatever in Mass yeah. Effect 1, you don't start at level 25 in Mass Effect 2. They want you to go through the whole game. So you might, you know, it's the equivalent of like going into college with a few extra credits or something like that. You're still going to be a sophomore at best.
Yeah. Well, there you go. that's a nice analogy. I like that. It is.
And at this point, I think we need to end our episode.
What? But I was still playing that. Oh, man. See, this is why I hate episodic content.
I know. And who knows if we'll continue the subject.
I didn't even talk about Monkey Island. Is that going to be in episode 2?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe we can plan, some extra content.
All right. We'll see. On this topic, though, if tell us about episodic games you've played, advantages, disadvantages. How do you feel when a game's announced episodically? Are you happy, sad, or do I have to wait till episode 3 to find out how you feel about it?
oh, gosh.
Sorry. Okay. You're right, though. You're right that this episode has run out because we don't have the money to finish it. So
that's right. We want to see how this goes before we release episode 2 and conform to your responses.
We'll see.
Episode 132, I should say.
32.
Right.
All right. Let's do some Pile of Shame and or a future retro.
Okay. Continue this topic on our website, famicomdojo.tv/podcast, and our audio bonus for this episode, the Monkey Island Quintilogy. Yes, we were born to fail on this winter game. Let's act on Yugi's Famicom Dojo again. Thank you for this video game.
Here's how it works. One of my friends comes by the studio, I pick their favorite movie, and we talk about it for 10 minutes.
Luke, why the f*** do you like this movie?
Well, I'll tell you why the f*** I like this movie, Rob.
Go get it. It's on Netflix. Go watch it. It's brilliant. Do it now, or I'll punch you.
Up top!
This is 10 Minutes About Your Favorite Movie.
Listen to 10 Minutes About Your Favorite Movie every Monday on the Little Podcast Network. All right, Vink, shame me.
In Future Retro, we talk about contemporary video games that have the potential to be remembered as classics.
Or classics that we played for the first time, or just more recently.
And in Pile of Shame, we talk about the games we haven't been playing, and we try to convince each other if we should.
Or not.
Shame you?
Well, it doesn't quite work, does it?
You didn't clean up the kitchen. Is that better?
Yeah, dang it. Mom?
Yeah. You were such a good boy. Okay, anyway.
Oh, my.
When are you going to stop playing your Nintendos?
Oh. Well, if this podcast is any indication, never.
Oh, man. This is starting to become my favorite part of the podcast, by the way.
The Pile of Shame Future Retro?
Yeah, just I don't know. It's cool because I think we get the most response from them.
Yeah,
Was it your Pile of Shame that Last of Us was on? Or was that just in our Shamecast 2000?
Yeah, I think it was in our Shamecast. So I have been playing it since. But yes.
Oh, you started it.
Yes.
Okay, a lot of response from that. I've been getting emails from lots of people just saying, like, even if you already know what the story is going to be, do it. It's because it's definitely worth playing. So, yeah, I think I'll try it. I might not finish it before you. Meaning that I will be the last of us to finish it.
Ooh.
Oh, sorry. That's.
Are you getting it? I assume for PS3 then.
Probably. You know what? Huh. Listeners, are any of you done with this game? Or you upgraded to the PS4 version and you just got a PS3 disc lying around? Could I have it? I'll give it back when I'm done. Although,
shipping to Japan is a little expensive, but
I don't need the case or anything. I just need the disc. I would just like to play it. We'll see where that goes.
can contrast that a little bit to this episode of content stuff. Like, this is one of those games where there are definitive chapters to it and sections, but it flows so seamlessly.
Yeah.
It's just, when I'm sure I'll talk about it in Future Retro eventually. Yeah. And I will mention it then, but I'm both loving and hating that, because it's just like the kind of like, all right, one more mission, one more, you know, got to get out of the situation now. Anyway.
Okay. Mine, I've got shame.
Oh boy. Shame.
But the thing is, with this game, it's shame even if I had played it.
Oh no.
Maybe more so. My double
me.
Shame this time is I am currently not playing a game called, oh gosh, how do I even pronounce this? A-U Senki. A-U? E-I-Y-U-U Senki. S-E-N-K-I. It is a... How do I start? You know how Napoleon was kind of sexy?
If you're into short dudes?
Well, no. Because in this game, he's not a dude. He's a girl.
So this is a super shame.
So is Billy the Kid and Christopher Columbus, Leonardo da Vinci, Julius Caesar. So let's imagine that all the greatest historical figures in the world were like girls in this strategy RPG visual novel. Let's just say that was happening.
Okay.
And it's not my fault. We have to blame Satoshi Matrix for this.
Okay.
He let me know that there was a sale on this game. No, and oh my gosh, it's triple shame.
Triple shame.
Because I bought it digitally too.
Oh,
I didn't even buy.
No.
I mean, I had to. There's no physical copy of this because probably no one would have. You know, they couldn't have found someone. Basically, this was a game that was out in Japan, and it's one of those like, Japan, what a crazy game Japan has. We'll never see the likes of this. And then one like little independent company went and translated the whole thing, and released it. Released it just digitally. It was like a $40 digital download, but it was on sale like last week for like $16. And I know what all the fans are saying right now. They're like, I missed it. Because listen, so this world is populated by female versions of the greatest historical figures, and they're all contemporary. So they're all at the same time right now, battling for world supremacy as a strategy RPG.
I see.
And so, the type of game, that's shame one. That I bought it digitally, that's shame two.
I mean,
the third shame is that there doesn't seem like I'm going to be playing it. So,
is it like a sexy Civ? I mean, what?
Yeah! Hey,
oh,
yes,
no.
Yes. Have you ever been playing Civilization and went, kind of like this game, if only there were more bikinis?
Man. It's like, yeah, that Elizabeth sure is buttoned up.
Elizabeth? No, I don't know if there's any female characters who were originally
actually
female.
So there are some complex issues going on here, is what you're telling me.
Ivan the Terrible is wearing a very warm, like, fur cape but no pants.
As one does in such climes.
Oh, well, Rasputin's cute. I'm sorry, I'm on their website right
what
now.
What is happening?
I didn't get very far. I didn't get very far in this game, so I don't know.
I don't either.
I'm not sure how I feel about this. In one way, I'm very, very amused.
Oh.
Oh man, this is just wonderful. Wow, Galahad really grew up.
Oh my.
Anyway, so
yeah, anyway.
Famous historical figures, and it looks like it's going to actually have kind of a cool like world conquest system in it. Along with the visual novel elements. And so it's all voice acted the whole way through and subtitled in English. And it's one of those games you wouldn't think would come out in the States at all. And I don't know much more beyond that because I'm playing on a CRT. And the text is actually too small for me to even know what's going on. I can't see the names of the different countries.
Does it even matter what's going on?
Probably. I don't know. To tell you the truth, I'm getting more enjoyment from this website. Looking at all the different characters. I think it might be a fun game because I like Civ type games. I like visual novels, the few I've played. I think it could be a really fun game, but like in order to play it, I would have to do one of two things. I would have to buy another television for my room that would give me high enough resolution to read the text, or I would have to file for divorce. Because the other option is to play on my living room TV, and I can only imagine this would be the end of my marriage.
Well, we've already established you have too many wives, so I think you have at least one to spare, right?
Ah, Siri? Yeah, but no, I mean, this is not the type of game to be played where anybody knows that you own it, you know?
Well, maybe we should cut this entire thing from the podcast.
Listen, in my defense, I haven't played it.
Ah.
But, well. Not for lack of trying, I guess. Yeah. So that's AU Senki, and that's my. It's a pile all by itself. It is a. It's not my fault. All right. Your turn.
Let's
move away from that.
I would like to discuss a future retro.
Oh.
Which is really appropriate, I guess, because it's retro styled, yet it was released in the future, although at this point quite a few years in the past.
You're so confusing me.
I am so sorry. Okay, have you played Sword and Sorcery?
Yes.
I have not played it myself in a while, but I've been thinking about it a lot lately.
Oh man, when did that come out? Was that 4 or 5 years ago?
That sounds about right.
That was one of the first really hyped iPhone games.
Yeah, and I had gotten my iPhone 4 at that point, so that's right about that sounds about right.
I have the soundtrack.
Right? There was something that I heard Jim Guthrie was attached to. I don't know if it's like MAGFest or something, but
maybe.
Yeah, he did the music for that.
Yeah.
Just things. So, you know, we were talking about these LucasArts games and the episodic adventures based on them. Like, you know, this looks like a LucasArts game.
Yeah.
You know, it's gorgeous.
But it's very, like, simplistic.
It's minimalist.
It looks like 8-bit resolution, maybe 16-bit color palette.
Yeah.
But 32-bit animation.
Yeah, they're like these enormous vistas that you can scroll around. So, you know, I've only ever played the iPhone version.
I never really used the I wasn't on Twitter when I played it the first time, but you probably were. Does it integrate well?
I didn't use it, actually.
Oh, okay.
Like, I guess that was kind of like part of their big deal was to, bring the game into the 21st century.
But at the time, I was just like, nope. And you know what? To tell you the truth, I'm still nope. But
I mean, it did, you know, as for the futuristic parts of things, it does use the features of the iPhone pretty interestingly. You know, if you start in portrait mode, like you were holding your phone, like it even says like in the corner, rotate ? And then you rotate and then you're actually able to start the game.
I was going to take issue with your comparing it to a LucasArts adventure game, but then I remembered Loom. So,
right. Yeah. It's quite a bit like Loom, but you know, like the music is really good. Yeah. I think one of the only drawbacks I can really say about it is how unabashedly hipsterish it is. Like it's aware it's hipsterish, but it doesn't care.
Yeah. It's the NES belt buckle of iPhone games. The NES control pad belt buckle of iPhone games.
But I like it so much because, you know, it is harkening back to those elements.
Yeah.
That's right. You can see your past conversations with the characters and whatnot. The narrator is called the archetype. You know, like that's how pretentious it is.
I love the beginning where there's just like the businessman chomping on his cigar and stuff.
Yeah, there's even a chat history with the dog. Bark, 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 bark.
Okay.
Anyway,
yeah, it knows what it is. It knows what it is.
It was so fun though, which is why I got so angry when I had to stop playing it because of one of the mechanics of the game.
Ah, okay.
For those of you who don't know, there are two sections where you can't recover the thingamabob, the MacGuffin. Is it even called the MacGuffin? I think it might be. I don't remember. You can't get through two of these sections unless it's the proper phase of the moon in real life.
Oh yeah.
So I literally had to, you know, depending on where you are, because you can do one or the other, right? So at worst you have 2 weeks to wait.
Yeah.
But you know, also at worst you have a month to wait overall. And you can't do anything else. So you have to put the game down, which seems like really terrible game design to me.
That's like Takeshi's Challenge stuff right there.
Right. Right. But like, you know, it at least for me, it worked. I didn't forget about it. And I wasn't like, you know, just like rising in anticipation of the day finally coming. And it is a soft window. So it's not like the day. That the was in that phase. It's probably like, you know, 4 or 5 days or something like that of range you have. But that doesn't mean you have to like check things in real life and be thinking about the game when you're not playing it, which I don't know. I don't think that really helped me to feel better about it. It's still annoying. And it's the one thing that's kept me from going back and playing it over again. Because I want to, but that's stopping me.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like
I think I'm gonna replay it on computer. I just realized I bought it.
I want to know what that's like because the whole battle system consists of you turning the phone back into portrait mode.
I wonder. So I'll check that out.
And it also like zooms in on its pixelated goodness and
yeah.
Those battles are, I mean, they're not really challenging per se. Like they do require you as you go through the game to have more advanced techniques while you're fighting. But it's nothing's really impossible. Like there are very few instances where I had to like go back and do the battle again.
Yeah.
But you know, it's not really, the game's not about the fighting, but
it
like a lot of games that plan to be minimalist, there's always something they're trying to tell you about gaming. Shadow of the Colossus, you know?
Yeah.
You're not supposed to feel good about what you're doing. It's taking that adventure trope, adding an awareness to it, and then sort of making it, you know, Last of Us is doing this to me too. It's making me feel bad about going around killing people.
I need to play that. Hopefully by now, the few of our listeners who aren't watching Homestar Runner
still
have gone, I've got a copy lying around. I'd love to send Vink something.
There will be a time when Flash will no longer work. Although I guess a lot of the stuff is on YouTube, but you lose the interactive elements.
That's true. I have a DVD of like a best of collection, like 50 of the best Strong Bad emails.
Oh, well, those interactive elements
you can click on the stuff with your computer. So that's nice. But yeah, you're right. I hope that site stays up forever,
They can just reprogram HTML5, right?
I hope no one's listening to this in the future and cursing us like because it doesn't exist anymore. And you know what? That's your fault at this point.
This reminds me, speaking of retro styled stuff.
Yeah.
I was, for work related things, I've been working with HTML5 Canvas, and I was about to crack a joke about converting Flash to that, but it's actually pretty cool stuff and you can do a lot of game related things with it. Friend of the show, Lewis Lloyd Judson, who did the pixel art for our logo for the podcast.
And did my Twitter avatar.
And yes. Well, that pixel art is actually from a game of us that he did, which I'm sure we've mentioned on the show before. But since that went up, he switched web hosts, and I think he's like on a Tumblr now or something.
Yeah.
So the game isn't up anymore. I'm gonna put that game up on our website.
Yes, do.
All right, I'm gonna add a link in the show notes so that you guys can go play it.
And you know what? There's my episode of content right there. Where's episode 2 of that game?
Right, because it left me wondering, like, you know, it's a real cliffhanger.
Yeah, what's going to happen when what do we call it? Non-copyright infringement monster comes out of the closet. What's going to happen?
I kind of want to make more. I want to do it myself. Like I want to learn a little bit more HTML5 stuff, Canvas, and maybe I'll just make some more.
Well, then it'll be like the Penny Arcade Adventures.
Yeah. Except we should make a game about gathering herbs.
That needs to be like the only item that can actually be added to your inventory. And there's no actual use for them.
Money? Nope. This weapon? Nah. Oh, look, herbs.
Herbs.
Oh, it's the Triforce. Get it. No. it's in an herb garden.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Well, let's put that trope on its head. Yeah. You have when you go outside, there's all kinds of Triforces growing, and you have to chop them down to find the herbs underneath. Stupid Triforces. I just chop them all down. Hold on, let me hold down the button. Oh, I chopped down 9 Triforces.
There can be a Triforce counter. And you can use your herbs to buy more. No.
Oh, man.
Okay, so yeah, Sword and Sorcery. It's a good game, even if it's pretentious, hipster nonsense. Good, wonderful music. And I don't know. If I'm not wrong, I should just check the MAGFest website. MAGFest is going to happen about a week after this podcast comes out.
Uh-oh.
And I that have means not...
It's almost time for VinkCon.
Oh, you're right.
Oh, do I really have another one of these in me?
Didn't we
Our promise... least popular videos.
Didn't we promise someone like a cameo?
Something. If you've been promised a cameo, please contact
me. Oh, jeez. Play this game. It's fun. Download it for whatever platform is available.
Yeah, it looks like it's available for lots and lots of things.
Like this game gets into my mind space so much that like every time I spell the actual word sorcery, I have to remember not to put a W in it.
Wow.
I know, right?
Wow.
That's a good game right there.
That is. That is. Huh. Yeah. There are definitely games like that from my past where the name of the game has impacted my lexicon so much that I cannot separate them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of one off the top of my head and I can't, but good example, Kevin. All right. Anyway.
Alright, well, let's bring it home then.
Alright.
To train your game, head over to our show notes at famicomdojo.tv/podcast for additional pictures, video, and bonus audio for this episode. Call us at 608-492-1923 to leave a voicemail for our Dentrymail episodes, or send us a comment on Facebook or Twitter at Famicom Dojo. Consider leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes, and be sure to subscribe to Famicom Dojo on YouTube for our latest videos about retro, import gaming, and more.
So, episodic gaming has pluses and minuses, as do the games that we brought up here. Sword and Sorcery is pretentious hipster nonsense, but it's a really good game and you should play it.
Yep.
And famous historical figures may not have dressed that way or been so interested in cosplay,
mm-hmm.
but... wouldn't it have been a more peaceful and delightful world had they been?
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe.
I'm not scared of this Rasputin.
And that's if how it, she gets ya.
That's true. That's true. That's true. By the way, our pile of shame and our future retro couldn't be more different.
Right?
I mean, anyway, there we go.
Well, I guess that's all the time we have this week. So until next time, the dojo is?
A female representation of Sean and Vink. I'm wearing cat ears and you have a bunny costume. Oh, don't draw that. Don't draw that.
Oh, God.
Fan art people, don't draw
no.
that.
No. What was that, Rule 37? What is that?
Oh, no.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, no.
I think it's like right at Lewis's alley, honestly.
It is. I was making a joke once because he did sexy danger mouse. And I'm like, you should do Moe Penfold next. And he did.
Oh, no. Well, thanks for listening to the last episode of the Famicom Dojo.
Stay off Twitter for a while.
Famicom Dojo.
The Famicom Dojo video game podcast is produced every week by That's Orange LLC. Our theme songs, Famicom Thrash and RPG, were written and performed by the Amari Tones. Find them on iTunes and at amaritones.net. Pixel art by Lewis Lloyd Judson at lewistrations.co.uk. Find us at famicomdojo.tv/podcast, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever RSS feeds are downloaded. And, of course, head over to littlepodcast.com to listen to other great shows on the Little Podcast Network.